Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Max and friends, he says what he wants, ain't holding nothing back. Got the recipe for life, and he's inspiring. He's not scared of any topic, from sex style to gossip.
LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night edition of Max and Friends. If it's your first time joining me here tonight on Max and Friends, welcome to the show. I've been here for like almost 9 years. Where have you been? I love you for tuning in. Hey, listen, we have like amazing archives of this show. Go to latalkradio.com/Max right now. There you can get all the archives, everyone from Jackie Collins, Barbara Taylor Bradford, Lisa Lampanelli, the list goes on and on. Orange is the New Black, CSI Miami. Y'all, by now you know we're just a variety show that have fun. We're here to inspire you to live life and take it to the max. So much has happened since, wow, I haven't done a live show in a while. And I know you all have gotten on me being like, oh, a couple things have happened in my life. So let's just get to that. One of my best friends died about 2 weeks ago. And not that I want to, like, rain on the parade or anything, but that's just life. And you know what? What I've accepted about that is that, as I do every day, we just have to live every moment like we really enjoy living. So I'm sure there's something you could be happy about. So look at it, find it, grab it, hold it, love it, smile at it, and just be grateful for it. Because 1 minute we're here and 1 minute we're not. But life is good. You know, it's not always the plan. I think that we make a plan and then all of a sudden things change. Well, that brings me to tonight's guest. We're talking about a great book, and you know I don't really read too much because my time is so limited, but when I do and when I find a book that I love, I have to let you guys know about it right away. This was not the plan. Christina Alger is my guest tonight, but before she joins me, what is a plan that you have devised, that you have made up, that all of a sudden has gone in a complete different direction? What is it? Tweet me at Max Tucci and let me know, because I want to know what's going on in your life and I want to know what plans have changed in your life. You know, there's that great movie Sliding Doors where literally she like misses the subway by a minute and her whole life changes. So what is that for you? What does it mean this was not the plan? Have you said that before? Well, the book, I have to tell you, This Was Not the Plan, which is published by Simon Schuster, I got in the mail, and I was like, oh my god, I've like opened this book, and I read on the cover, like, clear your schedule before you read this book. And I was like, oh gosh, I wish I could clear my schedule. And literally the next morning, I was going on an airplane, and I was like, I'm going to read this book. And like the beginning chapter is something where I was like, do I really want to read this while I'm on the airplane? Well, the point being is you'll have to read the book to find out. But Christina's going to be here in just a little bit to tell us more about the book. Now, I think, yeah, this is the last Sunday before voting. Do we even want to talk about it? Oh my gosh, no. I'm getting a sign, talk about it, and I'm shaking my head, no. What is there to talk about? If you're undecided by now, just do your thing. That's all I'm going to say. they want me to elaborate. What more can I elaborate about? There, for me, it's like I really am speechless because I know what can happen when you say things and then all of a sudden they're recorded and they're in archives and then you get tweets and people hate you and they love you and this and that. So the reality is that whatever your conscience and your intuition tells you to do, do. Trust yourself. You are the source. Create what it is you want and just be happy. Be happy. Be happy. All right? So that's all I'm going to say on that. And why am I laughing? Because it's just like, yeah, we'll talk about it after all of this, when it's all over. So next Sunday should be an interesting show because I think I'm having some political analysts here. I'd rather talk about books and I'd rather talk about like creating and consciously creating and all that fun stuff. So, you know what? Let's go into a song in just a minute because there's nothing that music can't fix. So we'll be right back. I'm your host, Max Tucci for Max and Friends.
Ladies and gentlemen of the class of 99, wear sunscreen. If I could offer you only one tip for the future, sunscreen would be it. The long-term benefits of sunscreen have been proved by scientists, whereas the rest of my advice has no basis more reliable than my own meandering experience. I will dispense this advice now. Enjoy the power and beauty of your youth. Oh, never mind. You will not understand the power and beauty of your youth until they've faded. But trust me, in 20 years, you'll look back at photos of yourself and recall in a way you can't grasp now how much possibility lay before you and how fabulous you really looked. You are not as fat as you imagine. Don't worry about the future, or worry, but know that worrying is as effective as trying to solve an algebra equation by chewing bubble gum. The real troubles in your life are apt to be things that never crossed your worried mind, the kind that blindsides you at 4 p.m. on some idle Tuesday. Do one thing every day that scares you. Sing. Don't be reckless with other people's hearts. Don't put up with people who are reckless with yours. Floss. Don't waste your time on jealousy. Sometimes you're ahead, sometimes you're behind. The race is long, and in the end, it's only with yourself. Remember compliments you receive. Forget the insults. If you succeed in doing this, tell me how. Keep your old love letters. Throw away your old bank statements. Stretch. Don't feel guilty if you don't know what you want to do with your life. The most interesting people I know didn't know at 22 what they wanted to do with their lives. Some of the most interesting 40-year-olds I know still don't. Get plenty of calcium. Be kind to your knees. You'll miss them when they're gone. Maybe you'll marry. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll have children. Maybe you won't. Maybe you'll divorce at 40. Maybe you'll dance the funky chicken on your 75th wedding anniversary. Whatever you do, don't congratulate yourself too much, or berate yourself either. Your choices are half chance. So are everybody else's. Enjoy your body. Use it every way you can. Don't be afraid of it or what other people think of it. It's the greatest instrument you'll ever own. Dance. Even if you have nowhere to do it but in your own living room. Read the directions, even if you don't follow them. Do not read beauty magazines. They will only make you feel ugly. Get to know your parents. You never know when they'll be gone for good. Be nice to your siblings. They're your best link to your past and the people most likely to stick with you in the future. Understand that friends come and go, but with a precious few, you should hold on. Work hard to bridge the gaps in geography and lifestyle, because the older you get, the more you need the people you knew when you were young. Live in New York City once, but leave before it makes you hard. Live in Northern California once, but leave before it makes you soft. Travel. Accept certain inalienable truths. Prices will rise. Politicians will philander. You too will get old. And when you do, you'll fantasize that when you were young, prices were reasonable, politicians were noble, and children respected their elders. Respect your elders. Don't expect anyone else to support you. Maybe you have a trust fund. Maybe you'll have a wealthy spouse. But you never know when either one might run out. Don't mess too much with your hair, or by the time you're 40, it will look 85. Be careful whose advice you buy, but be patient with those who supply it. Advice is a form of nostalgia. Dispensing it is a way of fishing the past from the disposal, wiping it off, painting over the ugly parts, and recycling it for more than it's worth. But trust me, I'm the sunscreen.
We're back. LA Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Hey, go to Twitter right now and find me there. At Max Tucci is my account. And I'm also on Instagram, too. The number two, the Max Tucci. Follow me there. Let me know what's going on in your life. If you want to email me, email max at maxtucci.com and I'll get back to you. I promise it might take a little longer than expected, but I will get back to you. So this was not the plan, is the book we're going to be talking about tonight. Christina Alger is a lifelong New Yorker, like me. She's a graduate of Harvard College, not like me, and NYU Law School. She worked as a financial analyst and a corporate attorney before becoming a writer. She lives in New York with her family and is currently working on her third novel. The Darlings was her first novel, which I haven't read yet, but I'm so glad that I was sent This Was Not the Plan, because it really wasn't the plan. So, welcome to the show, Christina Alger, to Max and Friends.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
I'm so happy you're here, because I have to tell you, I called you. I was in New York. I traveled up on the plane. I was like, girl, I wish I had more time to read this book, because it is so true. It's like I was so just like engulfed in this. There's so much that happens. It's so like today. It's like life is like it's like happening as I'm reading it. I feel like I'm watching a docuseries on someone's life. It was so good. So tell us a little bit about This Was Not the Plan.
Well, I started writing it right after I had my first child, who's now 3.5. And I was previously a lawyer and a workaholic, much like Charlie, who's the protagonist of the book. And the book really came out of this like really weird place in my life where I was trying to figure out how to be a parent and work at the same time, which I'm still trying to figure out 4 years later. But it was, you know, it was just this, I was going through this period of like a lot of self-reflection, trying to figure out like, how do you do this? How do you balance everything? And
I'm going to stop it right there. So how do you balance everything?
How do I? Very badly.
But badly that you have time to write three novels.
Well, I've written two. We're working on the third now. You know, I don't sleep a lot, and I don't socialize a lot. And, you know, it's with kids, I think one of the things I realized is, like, as much as you can plan everything, it just, like, kids are, like, this huge wrench in your plans. They just, like, they're constantly, everyone's getting sick. You know, school schedules change. So it's really, you have to learn how to roll with things and be, like, a lot more flexible than I was before I had kids. And so that's kind of, that was sort of the genesis of the book. And I wanted to write something funny that I sort of would relate to, and people I think that were going through that life phase would relate to. And that's how I came up with the character of Charlie.
Oh my God, I love Charlie. Now we're going to talk about all the characters, because the book is just that groovy. I'm telling you all, go get This Was Not the Plan. Seldom do you hear me on Max and Friends talk about books. And this one, literally, I was like, oh my God, there's a part, I want to talk about it because I called you and told you about it. When Charlie goes through his panic attack, I was sitting on the airplane reading this book, and all of a sudden I'm reading this and he's like having a panic attack. And through his panic attack, I started like having one. That's how brilliant your writing is.
Oh,
like,
thank you made me. It's like a bad, not the intended side effect, but thank you.
Oh my God. But it was so real. It's like you're like, what, like hearing this, because there's a lot that's happening. Literally, it's the kind of book where there's so much happening that it's like, this is how our lives really are today.
Yeah.
Like anyone totally can relate to this, because every second something changes. So let's get to the title first. How did you create the title, This Was Not the Plan, for this book? Where did that come up from?
You know, it's funny. It started as a joke between my agent and I, because I was actually supposed to write, my first book, The Darlings, is a legal thriller, and I was supposed to write another thriller sort of that was very similar to that book. And then I got pregnant and everything went to hell in a handbasket. And so I wrote this book instead. And so but it didn't have a title. And my agent kept saying, like, what do you want to call this book? We need to come up with a title if we're going to sell it. And so I sort of threw that out as a joke, and I said, well, this is definitely not the plan. And then we threw it past my editor, and she loved it, and it became the title. But it was sort of, you know, it started as a joke. So I guess that's kind of fitting for this book because, you know, it's all about, you know, things not going according to plan. But that's how we came up with the title.
But now my question to you is, does anything ever really go according to plan?
Yeah. that's a good question. not in my life. I mean, I've had a totally circuitous professional path, and, you know, my personal life has been sort of not remotely what I expected. And so, you know, probably no. But that's what I sort of love about this book. I feel like all the characters are kind of all going through their own stuff and, you know, realizing that, you know, things don't go according to plan, and that's kind of okay. And sometimes the best things come out of, you know, the craziest times.
And in the book, they clearly do. They clearly do. Not all the time, but they work themselves out. Let's put it that way. They work themselves out. So let me ask you, because is there any of you in Charlie?
Oh my God, there's so much of me in Charlie. I was a lawyer for a long time, and before that I worked at Goldman, so I was definitely a workaholic and work always came first. And you know, then when I got married, I really had to adjust quickly to this, like, a new sort of world order where, you know, all of a sudden my work couldn't trump everything. And that's what you see Charlie going through, you know, and he, especially because he's a single dad, he doesn't have a spouse to lean on. So he really has to be the dad, sort of dad and mom in residence, and also, you know, provide for his family. And so that definitely came from my own personal experience. And he's also, you know, he's a New Yorker. He's super neurotic. He's very wound up. And I think some people might describe me that way.
But, you know, it's so funny. When I'm reading about him, I, like, can pinpoint so many friends of mine. I'm like, oh, he is just like that. And I'm a New Yorker, too. So, like, for me, I'm like, ooh. And every part of it I get, I'm like, ooh, that's like this one. Ooh, she acts like that. He acts, oh, that's my sister.
Totally. Well, that's my occupational hazard being a writer, is everyone wants to know who the characters are based on. But
so
Charlie's,
who are they based on?
Me. Charlie's me. So
Charlie is you. So now let me ask you, you know, again, the book, it's a dance. It's like a really good dance. And when I was reading the book, I can't say it more. I couldn't put the book down because it was just so there was such an intensity to it. So it was like about love and family and drama and everything that every family goes through. So, but there's one thing in particular that stood out about a really adorable character named Caleb, whom I absolutely love because all the like Band-Aids and the socks and just being authentic to who Caleb is. So can you tell us, what was your inspiration for this character, Caleb, and kind of explain why I'm speaking in riddles?
Well, you know, Caleb is actually based on one of my best friend's sons, who before I had my daughter, I was really close with his mom. And this little boy is just, he was like true to himself. He was like, just, you know, he knew exactly what he wanted to wear when he got up in the morning. He was really into like all these strange things that his parents had no idea where they came from. Like he really wanted to take modern dance at an early age. And he was like into like the strangest music. And what I found so interesting about him was, like, you know, he's so little. He was like 2, 3, 4 years old, and he had this really strong sense of self. And I think what I've realized becoming a parent is, you know, you don't always get the kid that you think you're going to get, you know, and I certainly haven't. My daughter is like a crazy diva. She loves drama and glitter and pink, and we're just so different. And you sort of have to learn how to parent, you know, this very specific child that you're given. And I sort of love that idea that, you know, you don't just have to learn how to be a parent. You have to learn how to be a parent to a very specific person. And so that's sort of, you know, what Charlie's going through. He's given this child, Caleb, who's really quirky and not at all what he expected. And it turns out to be the best thing for him because Caleb has a really strong sense of self. And that's sort of what Charlie at age, you know, 36 is learning how to do for himself, is, you know, figure out who you are and be true to that. So that's sort of where Caleb came from.
I love Caleb because when I'm reading about Caleb, you know, and that's the thing. I was at an event like about a week ago in New York. And there were some kids there, and I'm asking the kids, because of your book, I'm asking the kids, like, what's the meaning of life? right? And the kids are like, one of them was so adorable. He goes, to stay little. I was like, oh my God. I said, when I become little, I want to be just, wasn't that good? 5 years old. And I said, when I become little, I want to be just like you. He goes, no, you don't want to go back. Keep going forward. I was like,
I can't.
I can't from a 5 year old right now, right? And then I asked another 7 year old, I said, what's the purpose of life? And he goes, to be thankful. I was like,
oh, good answer.
So now I'm like, social experiment. And I'm like asking my niece who's 15. And yes, I'm calling you out, Lily, and all of your friends, because you need to, when you know better, you do better. So I go to them, I'm like, what's the purpose of life? And they're like, I don't know. And I was like, y'all need to hang around some 5 year olds some more. But Caleb is exactly that. He teaches, I think, every character in your book, he teaches something to.
Yeah. Well, that's what I think is so great about that age, is that they're so, you know, they have no sense of, they're not embarrassed about anything. They just are who they are, and they'll just say what they think, and there's no filter, and there's no kind of programming. And that's what I think is so cool about kids that age. And so it was just, he was a really fun character for me to get to write.
Oh, no, he's totally cool. Now, who, you know, I already see this as a movie. Have you been approached to do this as a movie?
Well, I have a film agent, and hopefully she's trying to sell it now. So
it's just so, like, it has to happen. So in your, let's daydream for a minute. Who would you have play Charlie? Because I know you write about in the book who he looks like, but who would you have play him?
Oh, my God, that's such a good question. I mean, I'm terrible at name game with celebrities, but I don't know, someone like Jason Bateman or Paul Rudd or one of those sort of guys that always plays the kind of like dysfunctional but endearing guy.
Right. Who, if it wasn't handsome, like would be annoying.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
And who would play Caleb?
Oh my God, that's a really good question.
That's tough.
I don't know. Do you know any really precocious 5 year olds?
I just met one the other day, and I think that would be the best actor, someone who's brand new at this.
Yes, I totally agree.
Like the kid who said to me, like, stay little. I'm like, oh, you would be good.
Yes. What are you doing for the next 6 months? Yes.
Right, exactly. You're gonna be homeschooled. Right? So speaking of homeschooling and schooling, school becomes a big issue for Caleb's life. Bullying, yes, et cetera, and also then camps and so on and so forth. So how is it that you as a writer and as mother as well can, and you wrote about a child who's going through a life issue, so you all need to read the book because I don't want to give it all up. But what advice do you give to parents whose kids are going through something like Caleb is going through, or through bullying in general? What do you tell them?
Oh, my God, that's so hard. I mean, you know, it's funny. I feel like, you know, my dad died when I was pretty young. And I think, you know, the people that the best advice I got during that period was just to really take care of myself and be sort of not try and do things for other people and really just stay on whatever course made me happy and brought me joy. And, you know, I think Charlie has these very, he goes into the book with these very set, this set idea of like what his son should be. And by the end, I think you sort of see him accepting who his son really is. Mm. And I think that's, you know, I think with schools, that's like, it's so tough for parents to watch their kid, you know, not fit in, and you want your kid to fit in, but you also want to figure out how do you let your kid be themselves. And I think the answer is, like, you know, I think when we become grown-ups, you realize the people that know themselves the best are end up being the most successful adults. So, you know, it's kind of a balancing act, but I think Charlie realizes you have to just sort of encourage, you know, your kid to be himself and find himself, and that everything else will sort itself out.
Absolutely. And what I love about Charlie and Caleb, when they have interactions with other parents.
Yeah.
You know,
especially as a New Yorker, I'm sure you appreciate it. But there are a lot of crazy parents in New York.
Yes, especially as a New Yorker. And it's like you have nailed those characters down. When they're all standing in that in the lobby, I'm like, oh, that is every New York mother that I know. And then in comes the single dad with his child, and they're just like
totally ruthless.
Ruthless New Yorkers. But we're talking right now to Christina Alger. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. The book that we're talking about, This Was Not the Plan, go right now to Christina Alger, ALGER.com. There you can get a lot of information about her book, The Darlings, about the book we're talking about, This Was Not the Plan. And you're doing a third novel, but we'll talk about that in a minute. I want to talk about joy and about plans changing. Because you previously, as you mentioned, worked as a financial analyst and a corporate lawyer before becoming a writer. So did you have any joy in that profession?
Oh, that's such a good question. you know, I loved the camaraderie of both. I mean, so when I was financial analyst, I actually met my husband doing that job. So I'm glad I did it because I met my husband. And I, you know, one of the things I sort of tried to capture in this book is like there is this sense of camaraderie when you work with people really closely and you're working so intensely and you form these like amazing friendships with the people you work with because you kind of work all the time. But no, I mean, what I do now, I love, you know, what I do now is my hobby and I get paid for it. So it's kind of the best of both worlds.
That's the best. Well, what advice do you give to people who are literally like in that transition thinking, you know what, here I am working 9 to 5. This was not the plan. What do you tell them?
You know, I mean, that's such a, it's so tough to advise anyone else on their, you know, there's so many things bound up in career choices. But I mean, I was never really a corporate person. I always have trouble sort of working in an office culture, and I do much better when I'm working on my own, sort of on my own schedule. And I think, you know, my mom said to me at some point, you have to figure out, you know, what are the things about your job that you really like? And my mom loves organization. She loves really structured environments. And so for her, being in an office is awesome. And for me, it felt really stifling and stressful. And so I function so much better in a more creative environment. But so just as much as, you know, what you do, I think like how you do it is so important. And finding an environment that makes sense for you is so important.
And feels authentic to you, right?
Yes, totally.
You know?
Absolutely.
So, like, I guess you had that. You had this transition from going from a financial analyst and from being a corporate lawyer, and then you became a writer. So let's get into the book, This Was Not the Plan, because Charlie kind of gets a big surprise, which leads him into his panic attack, which led me into mine. So how was it for you to make the switch from Wall Street to pen and paper?
Well, I did not have as dramatic a transition as Charlie does, thank God. So I actually wrote my first book while I was still working, and I did it sort of in off hours, and it took me many years to do. And then I met my agent in this sort of roundabout way, and she sort of convinced me that I could do this professionally. And so I kind of just baby-stepped my way out of it. At first, I took a leave of absence from my law firm, and I'm such a chicken. It took me like 2 years to quit my job. But I finally, once I had sold a second book, and we sold the first book, we sold the film rights, and I started working on that project. I was like, okay, this is crazy. I can't do all these jobs at once. And I had sort of enough writing work in progress that I felt okay leaving my job. So anyway, but I clung onto my bar membership for like 5 years. It was ridiculous. So it took me a long time to unwind myself, but that's sort of how I ended up doing what I do now.
So people who are in a job right now, you know, and there's so many outlets right now to become authors with self-publishing and all this thing.
Totally.
Do you encourage people to become writers?
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think, you know, the publishing landscape has changed a lot since I started. I mean, I started writing my first book in 2008. So, you know, there's just so many more venues for publication now than there were even then. I think one of the dangers of that is that a lot of the sites, like websites and stuff, ask for free content, you know, so it's hard. It's really hard to make a living as a working writer. But yeah, I mean, you know, what I always say to people that approach me and say they want to write is, there's so much hunger for good product out there. I mean, my agent's always asking me, like, you know, if you see things, send them my way. And a lot of people start writing projects and don't finish them. So if you have the wherewithal to finish a novel, you know, you're well on your way to getting it published. So that's the exciting part. But most of the writers I know have, you know, what I call real job. So, you know, it's not, I don't encourage people to like go quit their day job and do what they're doing, but
stop becoming a lawyer and go self-publish a book
exactly,
and never
exactly.
eat again.
So I consider my real job is being a mom. So, you know, I have two little kids at home, so I sort of write in off hours around my mom duties, but, you know, that's just sort of how it all shook out for me. But I, you know, a lot of my writer friends are teachers or professors or lawyers even. So, you know, you just sort of figure out how to make it work.
You know, it's interesting because Jackie Collins, I had Jackie Collins and Rolanda Watts on the show about a year and a half ago. And Jackie Collins, Rolanda wanted to write a book. And she said, Jackie, what advice do you give me to, you know, if I want to write a book? And she said, write one page a day for a year And at the end, you'll have your novel, 365 pages, right? And so now literally Rolanda took that advice and she has her book out. It's called Destiny Lingers. So it's like, these are the things, like books don't have to happen overnight, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's, that's what, it's, I'm like, being sort of a chronic workaholic, I'm sort of obsessed with, when I wrote my first book, I was very sort of deadline focused. And
how long did it take you to write your first book?
My first book took forever. I think it took me, so I started in 2008 and I published in 2012. So, from the beginning to the end where you see it on the shelf took 4 years. But that's the thing about novels, you just sort of chip away at them over time. And in some ways that makes it kind of a great side project because you can do it kind of over time, little bit by little bit, and eventually you sort of amass 350 pages.
And how long did it take you to write This Was Not the Plan?
So that one, weirdly, I wrote in like 4 months.
I can see that. Because there's so much happening in it that it's like if you take a break from writing that, you could forget all the drama that's happening.
Yeah, totally. That book, I knew exactly where I wanted it to go. I sort of woke up with this very strong sense of who the characters were. And I wasn't sleeping anyway because I had a newborn. So
so where do these characters, how do you pluck them out of the sky? Where do they come from?
I mean, Charlie honestly came to me out of like my sort of personal life crisis of waking up and having this newborn and being like, I don't know what I'm doing. So I kind of wanted to write about that experience. And I actually think there are a ton of amazing novels that are really funny and really true about being a mom, being a working mom.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, why did you choose a male? Why a guy?
I just didn't see that experience from like the male perspective being represented in fiction. And, I was so sort of fascinated by my husband's transition to parenthood because, I got a maternity leave, he was, back in the office the next day, and we had this, screaming baby at home all night, and, he felt really torn. Like, he felt like to be a good dad, he had to provide for us, but then, he also didn't really, he wasn't helping out at home, and it was, a really hard thing for him. And so I just was sort of fascinated by that, how, society kind of gives men these, very mixed signals about what it means to be a good father.
Mm. And then his sister, who I love. That's, my girl. So how did you, I'm just trying to understand because I've never written a novel, so I don't know, the first base of creating a character. So how did you create this sister of his?
So I wanted, a foil for his character. So they're kind of opposites, right? They're sort of, she's very, she's kind of...
she's like Burning Man.
She's lax, but she is, a little directionless, and, he's right. This sort of type A guy. But I also, I really wanted the book to be about this dad learning how to parent his son. And so I kept thinking to myself, but if he's at the office all day, who is taking care of his kid?
Hello.
And I didn't want to have, the kid. I wanted him to sort of have someone he was really close to be the caretaker. And so I decided to make it a sister and not, a nanny or daycare or something like that. So that's how Zadie came to be. And then I wanted her to sort of be his opposite. She'd been doing everything her own way, and then he has to come in and figure out, well, where does that leave me? Because I'm not this crazy laid-back hippie, so I don't know how to do this.
Oh, she's the one that she disrupts every pattern in his life and every pathology.
Yes.
She's like Superwoman, I think, in his life.
Totally.
Without him even knowing
family,
it, really.
Right? I mean, everybody has their family members. You're like, oh my God, you're doing everything not the way I would do it.
But you hate them, but at the end, you've got to love them because they brought the ship back together.
Yes, totally.
It's like, okay, you might have been right. Okay, you were right. But what has there any been a really surprising reader response to This Was Not the Plan?
Yeah, I mean, what I found so awesome is how many emails I've gotten from dads saying, thank you. No one talks about this. No one talks about, how hard it is to be a dad. And it's just really interesting because, I think there's sort of this, I don't believe it, but that, there are a lot of people say only women read fiction, men tend to read nonfiction. And I don't know, I've gotten so many emails from dads that are just so psyched to see themselves sort of represented in fiction. And so that's been really fun and cool. And I've gotten to talk to a lot of parents, especially parents who've gone through sort of tough things, like becoming a single parent or a stay-at-home dad. And so that's been like a really fun part of this whole process, is getting emails from readers and talking to them about their own experience.
Do you think the reaction from this book has been a lot different from The Darlings?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, this book is so personal, and it's, you know, it's, The Darlings was a really fun book, but it was a thriller, and it was supposed to be a thriller, and it was about sort of really exciting, sort of, you know, about the financial crisis, and, but this book is sort of a quieter book. It's really about, you know, right. just one guy's, like, life experience.
I love a quieter book. There is, there is so much drama and tragedy.
Yeah, there's a lot
and,
of there's drama in everyone's life, you know, so that's what, it's just funny. I feel like this, I've gotten really, like, heartfelt, sort of emotional responses from readers about this book, which has been really, really cool.
Well, because literally, like I mentioned, it's a dance. You go through everything from tragedy to love to acceptance to rejection to confusion. There's like every emotion wrapped up in this book, and that's how it just flows. And I love towards the end of the book, like that surprise at the end, I couldn't take that. And that's why I'm gonna let you all get the book. This was not the plan, because we'll talk after the show, but that was like, holy shit. I was like, damn, that's some intense stuff right there. Because I know, like, I've been in a situation not as extreme as that, but I was to handle that like he did, I was like, good for you. Because I would have left.
I
love talking in code.
Fiction.
I love talking in code. But yeah, that was good. I mean, every part of this book was amazing. So,
oh, thank you.
What has been, like, has there been any reader response that really has stood out to you and said, like, you know, Christina, thank you, thank you, thank you? Or what's the one thing that really has resonated with you with the reader?
I think, you know, I've just heard from so many parents, and I can think of one in particular that I spoke to about a week ago, who they feel like their kid is different for some reason or other, and that the book sort of spoke to them because, you know, Caleb is just this kid that has all these kind of attributes that Charlie just never saw coming. He just didn't expect to have a kid that, you know, is like obsessed with natural disasters, and a kid who's like,
oh my God,
kind
yeah.
of a loner at his preschool. And so I've gotten a lot of responses from parents who tell me about their own child and what it felt like to, you know, to raise this kid that sort of didn't conform to whatever expectation they had. And that's been really amazing, especially as a mom, just to hear those stories and see, you know, how they sort of reconciled their sort of what they thought their child would be like to what their child is actually like. And that's been a really personal and kind of touching part of this whole process for me.
I love it. You know, I was telling my sister about the book, and I was like, if this book had an astrological sign, it would be a Libra, because there is so much balance in this book, even though there's so much confusion and drama and all sorts of things. There's like such a beautiful balance of everything that's constantly happening.
That's
I'm like,
so nice.
That book is a Libra. There's
I've
a beautiful
never, no
balance.
No one's ever given an astrological sign to one of my books, so thank you.
You're welcome. But it is. There's that balance there where even if you can't identify with what's happening in the book, the beauty of it is there's that balance that, you know what, things are going to be okay. And maybe this really wasn't the plan, but where I am right now is exactly where I'm supposed to be. And that's the motto I live by. And that's totally this book, is just grasping that where I am right now is exactly where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I love it. So let's talk about, you're doing November 10th in West Hollywood at Book Soup, 8818 West Sunset Boulevard. November 10th, 7 p.m., which is my sister's birthday, November 10th. Happy birthday, Nikki. But you're doing an event there at Book Soup. So tell us about it.
Well, it's funny. I was supposed to go on book tour talking about things that are not your plan. This book came out 4 weeks after my son was born. So I was supposed to do an event when the hardback came out in February. And, like, obviously everything went, you know, by the wayside when I had my son. And so we postponed it to come out around the time of the paperback. And so I love Book Soup. I was out there for my reading for The Darlings, and it's one of my favorite bookstores in the world. And my husband's from LA, so we're really excited to come out and see all our friends and read at this bookstore. And I'm doing it with an author that I love so much, Julia Johnson, who's just, her book, Be Frank With Me, came out at the same time as my book, and it's so good. So she and I are going to be chatting, which will be really fun.
That's so much fun. So everyone, if you're in LA November 10th, go to Book Soup at 8818 West Sunset Boulevard, 7 p.m. You're listening to Max and Friends. My host tonight is Christina Alger. The book is called This Was Not the Plan. Y'all have to go get this copy because get the book, read the book. Seriously, make some time to read this book. You'll finish this book, I promise you, in a day or two. It depends on your reading and how distracted you get. But Christina, what message do you want people to get from This Was Not the Plan?
You know, I think one of the things I realized about parenthood in writing this book, I sort of realized is like, I feel like we're all so hard on ourselves and on each other. And we always feel like we're, especially parents, feel like they're just screwing up all the time. And we're sort of always judging other parents about how they parent. And I think the point of this book is like, everyone is just muddling through, you know, everyone is like doing the best they can and trying to figure it out. And I think, you know, Charlie becomes a lot less judgmental in the course of the book, both with himself and with everyone around him. And so, you know, I hopefully feel like that's sort of, if there is a takeaway from this book, that's the takeaway. And, you know, we're all just kind of doing our best and, you know, letting, just accepting ourselves for who we are and accepting other people for who they are helps and makes everything a little bit easier.
No, absolutely. And, you know, just to testify to that, it is so true. Like the book, the takeaway that I took from it was like, just chill out. It's okay. You know, it's like, so it's not the plan. Big deal. And I think also when you realize that the plans, when they shift, so many more exciting things can happen.
Yes, totally.
Right?
Absolutely.
And that's what happens. Like when you let go of what you thought was the plan and accept what is the plan at that moment, you can have such a good time, but you have to just let go of everything that you thought was going to happen. And that it beautifully happens. It like naturally unfolds for him after every page turns. It's like, oh, it just like starts unfolding and unfolding. And his life turns out to be like really good.
Really good. I know. The best things come out of, I think, things that you don't expect. So that's, I tried to capture that in this book. And
you captured it. You captured
it.
Thank you. You captured it. I really want to see this as a movie because I think this on the big screen would really be one of those movies where like you would have to see like 3 or 4 times.
Because that'd be so fun. I would love to see it as a movie.
It's happening. Just consciously create it. It will happen, right? And then you'll go back and be like, that was the plan.
That was the plan. And so you're working, going to be the case. So.
Right? Consciously create it to happen. It will happen. So you're working on your third novel. Can you share any details on it?
Yeah. So this book is a little, I'm still kind of working it out. But my mom grew up in Cuba, and Cuba has always been this like source of deep fascination for me. So that's kind of what the book's about. It's about a woman whose father is an artist and grew up in Cuba, and she's sort of trying to get to know him and understand where he came from and this sort of world that he grew up in that she knows nothing about. So that's kind of what it's about. And I don't know. I will keep you posted.
It's going to be good. Have you been to Cuba yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't. And I'm dying to go.
Oh,
and that's part of this
I'm
book.
Going. And
like
let me suggest
excuse.
To you, you have to go. There's a company called Variety Cruises.
Okay.
Right? And they're like smaller ship. They're not like these big cruises. They're like maybe maximum like 30 to 40 people. Right. But because they're like smaller, you can go into all the really cool ports and stuff.
Oh, very cool.
And
yeah.
For me, like I've my friends have been to Cuba. They're like, there's some great, amazing places to go, etc. But I want to know that where I'm going to at the end of the night is like kind of the same place that I started out to. So check out, I'll send you the link, Variety Cruises.
Yes, absolutely. But I'd love that.
I know it's going to be an amazing trip. So I'm so excited. Do you have a fourth book coming out? Do you have like a dream yet of that?
No. Oh my God, no. I have to finish my third book first. So.
You don't jump ahead. Watch, you're going to be like, this is not the plan. Now I'm starting a fourth book.
I know, seriously. I know. I'm like, you know, I'm already behind. I've got, since my son was born this year, it's been like a crazy, crazy year. So I'm trying to get back in work mode.
So some fire off questions before I let you go, but what inspires you to write?
Oh, you know, I was telling a friend, like my friend, we were talking about like what makes us write. Writing for me is like therapy. I feel like it's like my cheap, dirty form of therapy. When I write, I sort of figure out what I'm thinking about at the time in my life and what's important to me. And so, you know, I find out a lot about myself, when I, you know, sit down and do my work. So that's kind of what keeps driving me to do it.
Free therapy, right?
Free therapy.
Self-therapy.
Yeah,
so having two children now, what's the most incredible thing you've learned from your children as a mother?
Oh my God, my kids are just like tough as nails. They're so tough. And my son, especially, my son had heart surgery when he was 3 days old, and he is like the toughest little kid. He's always smiling. He's so happy. He's been through so much medically, and he's like every day he has a huge smile on his face and everything is fine. Everything's cool. And he's like, I'm really inspired by him. He's amazing. He just sort of reminds you that, like, you know, he's been through much tougher stuff than I have in his little 10-month life, and he's always smiling. So life is good.
This is why I love kids, because they're like, you know, they're like, literally, they're like animals. They always live in the present moment, you know?
Totally, absolutely.
They never, like, revisit, like, oh, I had a heart thing, or, oh, they just live right now. I love that about kids. They're just
absolutely.
Always free. So what does New York mean to you?
Oh, New York. New York is like, I told someone the other day, like, I feel like New York is like that crazy, crazy family member that you have that, like, they drive you totally insane. And you're like, oh my God, you're so neurotic. You make me crazy. But, like, you love them and they're a part of you and you can't imagine living without them. And that's kind of New York for me. I've been here for 36 years. So
yes.
I have a great love-hate thing with New York City.
You know, I love it because I was born also and raised in New York. So for me, I say New York is that tough mother that you never had or that you do have. And as much as you want to hate her, you just love her. Because
I know,
she's
exactly.
Like
totally.
Always there for you.
Absolutely. I can't quit New York.
Never. No, you can't quit New York. You're a New Yorker through and through. Christina Alger, it was so much fun having you here on Max and Friends. The book, This Was Not the Plan. I'm so happy you're here because really that, and I'm telling you, you can listen to my shows. I don't come on here and talk about books that much. So for
oh,
me to
so
love
much.
This book, and because it's just so, I think it will really help a lot of people just accept where they are in life right now. So thank you for this book.
Thank you so much.
And I really hope that when you, on your next book, because anything with Cuba, you know, is going to be hot and spicy and sexy. So you got to come back to Max and Friends. And
I would
talk
love
about
that. That would be so awesome. Thank you.
It's my pleasure to have you. Tonight here on Max and Friends, Christina Alger, everyone, you can go meet her in person November 10th at Book Soup in Los Angeles, 8818 West Sunset Boulevard, 7 p.m. this November 10th, which is a couple of days away, 2 days after election. If you need to, like, just see what was the plan or not the plan, go see Christina Alger. Thank you so much for joining me here tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. This is really fun.
I'll talk to you sooner than later.
All right,
I'm going to talk to you after the show because we got to talk about the end of the book.
Absolutely.
All right. Have a beautiful night. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye. Well, everyone, speaking about November 10th, it's my sister's birthday, so I've got to give her a big happy, happy birthday and a big shout out. Also, everyone, you know, I'm doing another charity event for the Unicorn Children's Foundation. Speaking about children tonight on the show, go to unicornchildrensfoundation.org and Evening at the Birdcage, which is November 20th at Lips in Fort Lauderdale. I have 5 amazing co-chairs. Ash, you all know my buddy Asher, who is from Menudo. Well, he's coming. He's flying in. And my 5 chairs and I, we're all dressing in drag. And we're going to drag. We're going to drag out acceptance, drag out appreciation. Come and support us. Go to unicornchildrensfoundation.org. Listen, I'm doing a campaign. Speaking of voting, vote for me. $10 a vote. Vote as many times as you want. $100 vote, $1,000 vote. Whatever, all the money is going to Unicorn Children's Foundation to help children with neurodiversity, such as Asperger's, ADHD, ADD, autism, all the beautiful things that make everyone so unique. So, unicornchildrensfoundation.org, an evening at the Birdcage. Vote for me. You can get all the links there. Buy your tickets. We need sponsorships. We have a goal of only $25,000 that we're trying to reach. So, help me make that $50,000. Be generous. Be kind. Be love. I love you all for tuning in. I've got to wrap this show up. I will see you all next Sunday on Max and Friends. Until then, I say unto you, good night and good karma, and take life to the max. I'm your host, Max Tucci, from Max and Friends.
LAT.